Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Chat of the Wild. In this season, we are playing through The Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds, for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems. In our last episode, we started the game off. We introduced ourselves. I'm your host, Jeremy. Joining us, Jonathan Dunn from O3C Games.
Hello there.
And Dennis has been able to make it this time. So yay, aka Highland Gamer 01.
A full triforce of hosts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Shock on power. Yes.
Dennis, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to listeners? You have been on the show once before. We had you on here to talk about some hacking, right? Some speed running. Yes.
Yeah. I'm Highland Gamer One, Dennis. Whatever you want to call me. I'm a streamer, mainly. I stream over on Twitch and YouTube. I've played a lot of Zelda games. I've beaten all of them. Yeah, always been a fan of them since I was like 6. So, tons of fun there. Glad for this opportunity, you know?
So, go ahead and tell us, okay, first Zelda game, best Zelda game.
Okay, first Zelda game is Link Between... No, not Link Between Worlds. Link to the Past. That was the first Zelda game that I ever played on a ROM hack, I think. Mm. I think. Though it might have been on the actual hardware, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't the actual hardware. And then the best Zelda game, in my opinion, has to be Twilight Princess.
Controversial.
Okay. Okay.
It's very controversial, yes.
All right.
I love Twilight Princess. I'm always quite a big defender of it, and I still think Midna is one of the great Zelda characters. But yeah, Twilight Princess certainly has its critics.
Yeah, I'm someone who's very much into the lore of Zelda, and I really love the lore of Twilight Princess, because like there's so much of it. And so that's one reason why I love it so much, is because of all of the lore.
That's fair. That's fair. Talking about like the first time that you played Link Between Worlds, do you remember when how that was for you? Because we were just talking about it. It was 10 years ago.
Yeah. So the first time I played Link Between Worlds, I was still relatively quote unquote young. And so
I'm sure you were relatively young compared to us.
Oh, by far. And so I was still in the stage where like I was struggling to like put two and two together for Zelda games.
Okay, not literally.
And so Link Between Worlds was the first game that I actually beat.
Mm.
Which is really funny considering it was 10 years ago. Before that, there's so many more Zelda games, but it was the first game that I actually beat. And then after that, I was able to beat like all the other Zelda games. It was a good game. I was really drawn into like the aspect of like, you can turn it into a painting. I thought that was really cool. And I really liked the art style considering how young I was at the time. So it was a lot of fun. I think it's what really drew me into the Zelda series in the first place.
Okay. Interesting. So. Yeah. We were talking about in the last episode that, now that I think about it, I almost certainly was going through sort of an edgy phase in my life that at the time I probably thought Twilight mm-hmm. Princess was the best Zelda game because of that. And then going into A Link Between Worlds where I'm just like, this is too kiddy. This is art. This is too colorful and kiddy for me. So there's a chance that I was going through that. And that's why I can look at it now and just be like, this is gorgeous. But remembering... Mm-hmm. I had some issues with the art style back then. Okay, so why don't we go ahead and get back into the game? So in our last episode, we woke up multiple times, met a new friend, went on a little journey. now we have some tools at our disposal. We could just go directly where they want us to here, but I don't know about you guys. I can explore. I'm going to explore.
Oh yeah, I want to see how far this sword can take me. Not far.
Still not far. we still have little rocks will still keep us from being able to do everything that we want to do right now. But we can go and visit some things. We can go and play a couple mini games if we'd like. One of them in particular, did you do the, either of you do the Kuko challenge?
I did not.
No. Okay.
Kuko challenge is just dodging Kukos as they come flying at you. You're in a little pin and they come at you. You have three different levels that you can do. Each one increases difficulty. If you complete the third one, you get a little piece of heart. So that was my first one.
I thought I'd explore. Where is that? That's not
it's
in Kakariko
just south
Village.
Of Kakariko Village.
Maybe I didn't venture far enough south. Yeah. Oh, well, I know what I'm doing later.
Good way, if you're good at it, good way to make a lot of money, too. So yeah. Something to keep in mind.
Okay.
Which this game, right from the beginning, it's clear they're not going to hold you back with any wallets. They give you four digits at the start to be like, you could get, you know, potentially 9,999 rupees right now.
Again, it's another thing like we were saying last episode, Jeremy, about just removing steps from enjoying the game. You know, it just goes, just getting big wallet, adult wallet, giant wallet, doing this. That's just, what's the point? Let's just have your money, crack on. Mm-hmm. You know, it's another thing. Another barrier they've just taken away. And because you don't need to, it's like, is it fun to not be able to pick up rupees?
Right.
No. Don't put it in the game.
Let's just leave that out. But we can go into Kakariko. We can find a shop outside. There's a merchant peddling his wares out on a rug out in the open. And he's got a bottle for us. Gotta buy the bottle.
It's a nice bottle. You need the bottle. Like, you need it.
It's so versatile. It's the egg of the Zelda world.
Yes, sure.
Seriously, yeah. There's 100 ways you can cook an egg.
There's 100 things you can put in the bottle. We don't ever see Link wash it. Like, he could have just had some bugs in there and then he's going to go and pour some milk in it.
Yeah. I'd be more worried about the remnants of that milk turning on you after. It doesn't matter. That's my problem.
Right.
Wow, I never thought about that. Holy crap.
Wash your bottles, everybody. This is a PSA. When we did get this bottle, I did go ahead and went into the milk bar and I filled it up, which I regret it now, because in something that I almost certainly edited out in the first episode, Jonathan mentioned that there is a character that we can meet there, that they're the bee man?
The bee dude.
Which, when he introduces himself, he's just like, hey, Link, you know me, but now I'm in a bee costume. And I'm just like, okay. We were talking about this in the last episode, too. This being a sequel to A Link to the Past, but it's not really. It just takes place in the same world. But, like, every character is a different character, even if they have the same name. When they mention the bee guy, I'm just like, wait, who were you before? But I don't think he was anybody before in A Link to the Past. But not thinking about it, he'll give you a net so you can go and collect bees for him. But you still need an empty bottle for those bees.
Yeah. But you can sell those bees for big bucks.
Immediately went to, there's like grass clearing just to the, like, left of the bottom of Kakariko, and I just was cutting through that, just going for bee after bee for like 30 minutes, and I have a ton of rupees now because of that. I'm like in the thousands now.
Oh,
like,
wow.
It's
okay.
A lot of rupees.
Okay. That okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't,
I mean, yeah. I mean, this game is, I mean, we'll come on to the whole rental system and why rupees are so important in this game, but yeah. It is very much Nintendo's statement on capitalism. More rupees, more fun.
That's what they say. That's what they say.
That is what they say.
It's on the box. So,
but you don't own it. That's it. But you don't own it unless you pay more rupees. That's it. God.
Bleak. Oh, boy. But yeah, whenever we go and return some bees to him, he gives us rupees. So that's a good little job, a little side hustle that we have now to go and make some more money. The dodging the cuckoos you can make at the top tier, you have to pay 50 to do it, but then you can get 150 if you complete it. So there's that too. But honestly, the bee method sounds a lot better. So yeah, we can go and explore some more here. A lot of locked doors. Definitely had some of the secrets that I remember from A Link to the Past in my head for Kakariko, going there and it not being there and just being like, okay, I'm definitely not remembering the first time I played this game. I'm remembering the game that I know I've played and played through like half a dozen times at least. So really, we can't do much more in this town, right?
Did you manage to get the little heart piece that's down the well?
No.
It is possible.
It is.
It
if you
is
grab
possible.
A, grab a cuckoo, jump off the cliff and fly around, you can land into it.
If you talk to the cuckoo lady, she's talking about someone stole one of them and was flying with them. So I guess it was giving you a hint to do that. But no, I didn't do that. So add it to the list of things to do for the next episode.
Yeah.
So what we do know is Ravio was mentioning about how you should go talk to Princess Zelda about this stuff because, I think we told Ravio Princess Zelda's in trouble, and then Ravio told it to us, the viewer, of what yes. Link was saying. That sort of...
Because Link just did this.
Right. They don't
which
even...
Is, which is, it's great audio content there for you.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The listeners know exactly what you were doing there.
Yeah.
If we do go to the castle, we will get talk to a guard, and a guard just doesn't believe us at all. I did do a lot more exploring, came up very empty-handed, found a lot of places that I put some pins down, though.
Yeah. Plenty of caves and entrances and things, yeah.
Came across a fairy as well. Now, the reason I have the milk, though... The reason I made sure I was like, I want to have milk on me. I need something to replenish it. Because a lot of times in these Zelda games, the very beginning is the hardest part of the game.
Yeah.
Because you have fewer hearts and, you're still maybe figuring out the controls. You can see yourself getting hit by random enemies and things like that. So there's a chance that you find yourself in a corner. I was really hoping that they put master mode at the beginning. I do remember now that you have to beat the game once to unlock master mode. So
like my save was still on there from the first time I played the game. So it did give me the choice to play what's called hero mode in this. But I thought I'm not going to do that. Just in case,
I'm playing through hero mode.
Okay,
right now,
great.
So.
Great.
Yeah.
Does it give a description of what the hero mode is? I believe
hero
I know,
mode.
But...
It makes it so that enemies deal more damage, and I believe that's it, mainly because it still drops hearts, which I didn't think was going to be a thing.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Wow. Yeah,
so,
that would be harder.
Yeah, I think it's only enemies deal more damage.
Yeah, see, I'm not fussed on doing it there, because I replayed Breath of the Wild on Master Mode just fairly recently, and it entirely changes how you have to play the game, totally. Mm-hmm. Whereas this just sounds like I'd just die more.
Which is not as fun, right? The idea of hearts not popping up, meaning you have to make sure you're keeping potions on you and things like that.
Yeah, that's an additional challenge. But if it is just enemies hit harder or you hit weaker, it's like, it'll just take me longer. I've got I don't have much time.
Right.
I love this game. I don't want to get frustrated with it, you know?
That's true. But as we're telling this guard what's going on, he doesn't believe us. But he wasn't ready to let us in. Fortunately, Impa opened the door and was just like, what is all this noise going on out here? And that is where we go and relay the information to Impa. And Impa will hear us out. You know, she understands the weird things that happen in this world more so than the guard in front of this door here. So she hears like someone's turning people into paintings. Yeah, why not? That sounds like a new enemy. Let's go and deal with that. But we get brought in and we get introduced to Zelda here. Now, this is where, again, it doesn't matter that it's a sequel to A Link to the Past, because Zelda goes, we've never met before, but I've been having dreams about a hero fighting some evil, and I assume you have too. And that's it.
It's a weird way to open a conversation with somebody you've never met before.
Oh, you, that's,
I mean, I've never met you before, Dennis, but I didn't say, have you been dreaming about me?
Because I've been dreaming about
dreams.
Because I've been dreaming about you.
So I should stop using that as an icebreaker on my dating apps, is what you're saying.
Oh, frick.
Oh, darn. Yeah. No wonder. Okay. no, this is where, and then this is them unloading a lot of lore onto us here. Actually, no, before we get into there, we also sat in a waiting room with paintings on the wall that we have to read each one that basically recounts the story of A Link to the Past.
And every other Zelda game.
And pretty much every other Zelda game. That's really it. I mean, that and the world that we're going to be in, that's the connection between the two. Everything else doesn't matter at all. So if for anybody playing this game worried they're missing out because maybe they didn't play enough of A Link to the Past, you're not missing anything. So after Zelda says all that, she goes and tells us about how, you need to go talk to Sahasrara. He's one of the sages. He'll be able to tell you all that. He goes and he lives in Kakariko. So go back to Kakariko and talk to him and figure out what's going on. Right. Cause then I'm trying to remember this, that's how this happens, right? Cause Zelda isn't turned.
That
happens later.
Zelda
happens
gives later. Us like a little like pendant thing, and then we go over there.
That's right.
Yeah. So yeah, she gives us this pendant, which I thought, knowing what's going to happen later, I was like, right, the pendant is the thing that protects us, right? And it's like, no, it's that piece of junk that Ravio gave us. But we'll get to that.
Yeah, that wet dog bracelet.
Yeah. So we can go and wander some more, really. Like I said, at this point, we've seen the main things are in Kakariko and surrounding Kakariko. If you go to the other areas, you can fight monsters, you can get rupees. I just don't believe you can find another piece of heart anywhere
I
in there.
Don't think so.
Not currently. But we go back to Kakariko, we talk to Sahasrara, and he goes and tells us that, okay, yeah, What's going on with this guy turning people into paintings? I guarantee you he's going to be going after my pupil, Asphala. Asphala? That's how I would say it.
I think Oz... whoa.
You haven't said it out loud, Asphala, have you?
Yeah, I've never said it out loud. Same thing with Sahasrara. Like, until you say it out loud, like, it makes sense, and then you say it out loud and it's like, whoa.
I think it's actually pronounced Kevin.
Yeah.
So it's, I wouldn't, Kevin, worry. It's just Kevin.
It's Nordic.
Yeah, Osvala.
Yeah.
There's
all these like hidden little things above it that you don't see. But I would argue Sahasrara makes less sense written down than it does saying it.
Yeah.
I think that was always the problem, is like seeing that name just in text, I'm just like, they're just throwing random letters down. But then when I've said that name more times than probably anybody on this planet, there's a chance I have said Sahasrara more than anybody else in the whole world.
I think you're probably right.
It's very possible. But he goes and tells us that his pupil went to the Eastern Palace, what was the reasoning for it? Oh, he heard some strange rumors of a man lurking near the Eastern Palace, and so he sent his pupil to investigate. That is the story behind this here. You were talking about like lore in Twilight Princess, and like there is a lot more reason for a character motivation in Twilight Princess than there is here, where we really are just sort of like, it's just ancillary. We're just sort of like, yeah, just, I don't know, here, go take it, just go do whatever. And it just so happens you stumble across this new ultimate evil that's turning people into paintings and everything.
Yeah.
But we can go to the Eastern Palace, and as we get up to there, so again, I get into here, I get taken back. You talked about how the first time you played it, you played a ROM hack of it. Now, did you just mean you were playing like a ROM? You were just playing on like an emulator?
Yeah.
Because that's actually how I played it for the first time too. Because even though it's like I had a Super Nintendo at the time, I didn't have that game and I couldn't afford it at the time. My parents wouldn't buy it for me. You know, the games were like $60, $70 back then too. So my parents were like, no, you're not getting it. If I couldn't find it at a flea market, I couldn't get that game. Like, that's the only time I got new games for it, is that if we found them used somewhere in a bargain bin. But I was able to get that running on our family's computer. And I remember playing it on there at coming back into the area of the Eastern Palace. I just got taken back to that. I'm sitting in our computer room, playing this game on a keyboard, right? Like, not, that's the weirdest thing, playing a Super Nintendo game on a keyboard. We didn't have a game pad or anything at the time either. So, that's how I played that game for the first time too.
Me too.
Yeah. So, just a bunch of pirates here on this season.
Oh yeah.
Yep. Don't tell anybody, listeners. We can go through here, and you know, there's again, not a lot to do because our tool set is limited. But we are introduced to the stone statues that come to life and all of that. And, just full of enemies jumping at you.
Yeah.
Are either of you having any trouble so far? Because I mentioned about how the beginning of the Zelda games are the hardest. Honestly, the hardest part for me is my thumb slipping on the slide pad on the 3DS.
I remembered the way to the entrance of the Eastern Palace, so I just ran past everything, trying not to wake it up.
Nice.
I mean, most things drop hearts.
Yes.
And nothing does more than half a heart of damage anyway. So odds are, if you take out two enemies without getting hit once, and only get hit once, you're going to be quids in.
My problem is if I get hit once, that's a whole heart of damage.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And so I only have three hearts right now at this point. So it's scary.
But that's the thing. I want that. I'm always the person, like, when we're playing these games, just like, Zelda games, I love them. They're too easy. Make it a little bit harder. Just turn the knob up a little bit on there. And so when they decided to put in these hero modes, I loved it. But the fact that they have to beat the game first to unlock it, it's like, just let me do it from the beginning. But anyway, when we get up to here, we do get a little cutscene that looks at the top of these pillars, and they have shapes of what is very clearly a bow and arrow.
Oh, is that what it is?
Oh.
I thought it was like a hammer or something.
Well, that's what I was wondering at first. I was like, we'll get the options to pick different items later. For those that haven't played this game, I don't want to spoil too much. But when this did happen, I was wondering, that's not random, right? It's always going to be that. It's always going to be the bow and arrow.
It'd be fun if it was, though, wouldn't it? Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Yeah.
It would be cool.
Be bad for this show, but it's good for this here. Also, Ravio left a sign for any nearby adventurers. If you have any trouble with your adventuring, come visit me at my store, which happens to be in this one guy's house that I'm rooming at.
Yeah, who I'm sure hasn't like classified his address as a business property for his tax return. get your papers in order.
So we go head back to our house, and so far it looks untouched. He was kind of surprised that we had come back already, and gave us a little quiz on which shape we saw. So, this is where, you had a couple different options there, but I didn't select the wrong one. Did either of you select the wrong one for fun?
I should have.
We need to start doing things for fun.
Yeah.
Life's too short for fun, Jeremy. We've got games
life's
to play.
Too short for fun. The capitalist mentality.
Exactly. I'd stumbled across a blocked up cave and I did want to get the bombs. And I thought, I wonder if I could just select the bombs and he'd give me a bomb and I'd go and bomb that cave. But I just couldn't be bothered. No time. Needed to get the bow and arrow. Needed to get
that
there.
Need to go fast.
Yeah.
Gotta go fast.
That's Link saying. So we do say the bow and arrow and he's just like, oh, does it look like this? And then it's just like, da 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 da, we get the bow and arrow.
Classic.
So now Jonathan was talking about a thing that you could go and do from here because I was complaining about only having one item slot right now. So Jonathan, what is the thing? Like, since we're at the house, it's near here, right?
Yeah. So if you venture a little bit west, there's a lady who says she's missing her son or her friend or somebody.
Oh, is it Golan? Is she talking
yeah,
about Golan?
Goalie.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. This is how much attention I pay. yeah, she's lost one of the main characters, and then you go north into a little clearing and you find them, and then you get given a pouch, and the pouch is your extra item slot, so you can then have an item on X and an item on Y.
I kept pressing X, and I was like, is that roll? Can I roll in this game? I don't know if I'll ever be able to roll. I would love to, but
yeah, right, I can't remember that either.
There's no roll. There's no roll.
Okay, all right.
That was one of the best things about Minish Cap.
Just rolling everywhere.
It was such a surprise. Didn't expect it. Brilliant. Anyway.
Gah.
Dreadful game.
7 out of 10.
Oh, so. £70 DLC. Come on.
No, so we can go and do all that, which I need to go and do now for sure. Did you, Dennis, get this? Are you still just rocking one item?
I did not. I completely forgot where it was because, like, I remembered it was a thing and I was just like, I don't know where it is. I'm just going to keep going.
I was just like, oh, wow, they only give you one item in this game. Okay, all right. Challenge accepted.
I mean, it's not like you have many other things to put in. I mean, you're not really going to use your net. And you might just set things on fire
for the volley or whatever.
The what?
In like Twilight Princess, or like you pull out your net and you spin and you hit the light ball back. Mm-hmm. You need it for that.
Yep. So in case we run into Ganondorf on our way here, make sure we have that. So just in case, you never know. They went places with this game. You never know.
Yeah.
No, we get the bow and arrow. We can go back to the Eastern Palace. With that, we have the ability to then shoot the orbs on the side that open the door. And that's going to take us into our first dungeon. But first, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we'll talk about the Eastern Palace.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, we are back. We're in the Eastern Palace. Again, just the nostalgia for me coming back here, not nostalgia for this game because I had only played through this game once 10 years ago when it came out. So I'm excited to get back into here, but you get into there and you've got the orbs, which on the Super Nintendo, when these things came down, I always thought they were water. Now it's very clear that these are like stone spheres that are rolling down the hallway at us.
It's big old bowling balls.
So you thought,
classic Indiana Jones and the ball.
My favorite, yes.
Yeah, I love that one.
The best one.
Yeah, the fourth one.
Yeah. But no, like getting into here, seeing all that, just getting taken back. It's great, though. I wish there was more to say about this dungeon. It is fairly straightforward.
Yeah, there isn't really much to do when you've only got sort of one tool to interact with puzzles and stuff like that. But yeah, it was I loved getting that sense of depth that you get with the stereoscopic 3D, and I started to remember all the ways the game is going to use that in some of the other dungeons with the other layers and stuff like that. Obviously, this dungeon does it a tiny little bit; it gives you a little taste. But yeah, I started remembering everything that's to come, because my memory of this game is very hazy. It's a lot hazier than I thought it was going to be. Yeah, it's very little I remember of it. So yeah, it was nice. It was nice, but like you said, short, simple.
Right.
It's a tutorial, isn't
it? It's a tutorial, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is how dungeons work in this game. And now, yeah, it's covered everything else. You've got a sword. You're going to rent items. This is how a dungeon goes. Now get to it. It's the Great Plateau.
Yeah, fair.
Pretty much.
Dennis, are you playing in 3D mostly, or are you keeping that off?
I'm keeping that off mainly because it looks wavy. So when I do it, and it's weird, and it plays tricks on my eyes, and it makes me think, oh, the balls that are coming at me are way farther away.
Oh, okay.
And so I died a lot on that room because I had 3D on, and I was like, you know what? No. And so I turned it off, and first try, I was able to get past the balls. So
I do have to ask, do you wear glasses?
I do. I have contacts in.
Okay. Because that's always been a thing. It's the same thing with like VR for certain people. If you can't wear your glasses in a VR thing, it makes the effect not work at all.
And yeah, yeah.
This being very experimental technology in terms of glasses-free 3D, I know that like, if you don't have near perfect eyesight on your own, sometimes that this just doesn't work for you.
Yeah.
Jonathan, do you wear glasses, or are those just for fashion?
Both, mate. Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't help that my disability makes me look very good.
very fashionable.
Yeah. And I don't have a problem. I get that same slight twinge in the center of my forehead. If I've played it for a long time, VR seems to be fine occasionally. Like if I don't have my glasses on when I'm playing, then it does start to get to me. Fortunately, like certainly playing in VR, if I'm playing on my like Oculus Quest, I can leave my glasses on and it's fine. And yeah, 3DS is fine. I love the stereoscopy. Of it. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. But yeah, you do obviously have to stand pretty still or sit still and not play at an angle and not look away from the screen for it to really work. Like I said in the last episode, I love the fact that Nintendo have made it so that it retains 60 frames per second, even in 3D. It means that, yeah, this is one of the best 3D experiences you can get on the little console. Yeah.
Nice.
Wait, this game runs at 60 frames per second?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What, 120 frames per second?
I think 120, yeah.
Because it's doing both two sets of images at the same time.
Now, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't help that, like, you know, it's not like the 3DS screen is super high res. So it's not like when you're playing Spider-Man 2 at, you know, 60 frames, the performance mode where like everything smooths out and it's just like a whole different experience versus that. It's more just like, it just runs smooth and you don't think about it. That's really
it. Exactly. That's it. Yeah.
But it's funny. Like we get through this whole dungeon, right? We've got that bow and arrow. We hit some orbs and it raises and lowers things for the 3D, gives you some fun effects on there. But I get through this whole dungeon. I didn't even pick up the map. Like I get done when I got done with it, like I got the compass and it showed me all the treasure chests. There was one left and I was like, I know what it is. I don't need it. It's fine.
Yeah. Well, there aren't maps in the dungeons because it just gives you the maps.
Oh, does it give you the map? Okay, then maybe I need to go back to there. Maybe there's some rupees in there.
Probably
that
do. There's a heart piece in there.
Then that's probably what I missed. Great. Actually, you know what? Thank you, Jonathan. Another thing for me to go back and do.
Again, it's like I it makes sense that you just get a map because you've got that second screen, and a map is a perfect use for the second screen. So why not? So, you know, it doesn't really make sort of sense just to deprive the player of that for half of a dungeon when it could just be useful and fun. So it's nice. I like it. Again, for someone like me who I really struggle to remember my way around places and where things are in relation to others. So I'm very old.
I'm so old.
So cold. My hip.
It's starting to rain.
Oh yeah, I can feel it. Oh, that's gonna hurt. Come winter. Yeah, so it's another instance of Nintendo really streamlining the process, you know, of the game. Makes sense to have the compass be something like you said to find like the hidden the chests. And did you find the secret fairy room in the dungeon?
There's a fairy room.
Yeah, there's three fairies in there and a bunch of rupees.
No, okay, need to go back and do that too. I was apparently very hasty getting through here.
You can catch the fairies with a net and put it in a bottle. So
right, but well, if can you, they swim in my if, milk?
If, I beg your pardon.
That's another one of my icebreakers on my dating apps.
Jesus.
Oh boy, do I keep that in? So we get through here.
Yes.
We've got a big key. We got a big key, boss key. I can't remember what they called these ones.
I big key, think little key, combo box.
Yeah.
I think it's big key.
We get the big key. We go into the big door. And we've got a little...
What's in there? A big.
Yep. We see Yuga, which we Jonathan put this together in the last episode. Yuga and Yiga. Yeah, Dennis didn't really think about that, did you?
No, I didn't.
Wondering if there's supposed to be a connection there.
Yeah. It's like Malin and Talin and Malin and Talin. It's just another universe's version of the Yiga clan, but without the pot belly.
We do see that they we're too late. Osvala, even though he had his magic sand rod with him, which he assured us is all he needed to take care of anything here.
Where's the sand?
Yeah, there's unfortunately you went to the dungeon without any sand in it. He is currently being sacrificed, floating over a pit, and he gets turned into a portrait by Yuga, just as he did with the previous maiden. And so now he has two of them. He has two of the sages in his pocket, and we get a little boss battle with him. Dennis, why don't you go ahead and describe this for the audience?
The fight is pretty straightforward. So Yuga is gonna be on like the other side of this arena with like the hole in the middle, and what it wants you to do is it wants you to shoot arrows at Yuga and stun Yuga so that, and then you can go over and attack Yuga with your sword, and then Yuga will be like nope and become a portrait and run away, and then you just repeat that until Yuga's like, wah!
Right. Yuga did something. I mean, I was really quick in here. This has been a common thing where I ended up speedrunning through a boss battle, not realizing there were different things that they did. And I was wondering about this too, because there were times I was wondering if Yuga was going to shoot something at us that we then had to volley back to them. With the way that it looked, but I just fired arrows at them immediately.
I am pretty sure he does shoot something at you. I just don't think that you can volley it.
Yeah, it's not quite the same setup as the old Phantom Ganon fight, is it, in Ocarina? But it is very similar.
Yeah. And then also there is another attack that he can do where like he summons four like knights out of the walls.
Yeah, see, never saw it.
Yeah, never got that far. Yeah. Yeah, I was same as you, Jeremy. I just shot and slashed and asked questions later, as in now.
I did this fight like within like 20 seconds. Well, like it was fast.
So you just knew that he had those other moves.
Yeah, okay. I I've played through this game so many times just to like see what like attacks things can do when I, because like going back to look at it, it's like, what did I miss? Because you can't really, you can't go back in this game like you can with other games to fight bosses that you've beaten.
Honestly, it's great to hear that you are a deep expert of this game then, because yeah, otherwise we would have just been like,
we should have one of them.
Yeah.
It should be one of us.
Where Jonathan and I, our old man brains are just like, we didn't leave space for this game here. So, okay, good to know. We then, we beat him. He is exhausted and he's just like, enough of this. And then he does his magic spell that pins us against the wall and turns us into Jonathan. You did some research, very referential to what kind of paintings, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a classic wall painting sort of style, very similar to what you might see in the older primitive or early art eras, like cave paintings. But also, it's reminiscent of Mesopotamian wall art as well. I just happen to know off the top of my head.
As all Brits do, right? That's why we brought you on here. You all know history.
We stole all this art from everyone. It's all in our museum. So, you know, it's very central to our culture.
But thankfully, because of Ravio's stinky bracelet, we're able to then pull ourselves back out of here. And then immediately, it's not even like it tells us. Like, you would have thought there'd be some kind of tutorial being like, screen to pop up and be like, press this to turn into the wall again, do all this. But no, it's just... If you press A again,
it saved you.
Yeah.
That's cool, I guess.
No,
just like,
it's very
you're
cool.
Stuck in this room now. Yeah, you're stuck. You can't get out.
Right. This is where we then have to pay attention. And again, when you turn the 3D on, those slits in the wall really do stand out a lot more, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
But this is where we can stick back on the wall. There's also a full heart container that you can pick up here. So, da-da-da-da. So we can get into the wall and we can run along the wall. Now this does also, I need to bring this up. This uses our, I don't know, Ravio points, I guess you'd call them. It's sort of the magic meter that we have in this game that
items, like, it's your stamina, isn't it?
Yeah, I guess it's stamina because it's not really, it's used for the items that we have. When we fire an arrow, it takes a chunk out and it does heal back on its own.
Yeah, it's brilliant. Don't need to pick up ammo or anything. Again, streamlining. Mm-hmm. Love it. I love it.
But also, when we are in our painting mode, 2D mode against the wall, that also uses up our stamina. I want to call it Ravio points. I'm going to call it RP for this one.
Not to be confused with rupees.
Right, exactly. Keep up. But now with this...
Sorry, I'm making notes.
With this, we can go out of there... And we're immediately outside of the building of this palace here, running along the walls, and then we get these different angles that make you feel like there's just a bottomless pit down below us right now. Just really cool effects.
It's brilliant. I mean, it's such a fantastic example of just blowing your brain wide open as well. Like, in just with the press of a single button, not obviously your entire perspective changes, and literally the way you've thought about any Zelda game before changes. You know, it's in the same way that it does in like Tears of the Kingdom, when like you realize you can pick up anything or move anything. It's just like you thought you knew how to think about Zelda games, how to get around, about dungeons, about walls.
Right.
Nope. Yeah. All different. Nope. All different. Like, what an incredible treat that moment is, just to go literally press A to change everything.
Well, and then even before, like, you know, I do remember before this game came out, not thinking that was a big deal. Right?
Yeah.
Like, the advertisement's just like, oh, they're just doing a fun thing where you're running along.
That's the gimmick in this one.
Right.
Yeah. It's like being a wolf.
Yeah. not
riding a train.
Not realizing just how much of a game changer it'll be.
Yeah.
So we can go and run along the walls here and all of that. And really, it's just to then exit this dungeon. Like, we've completed the dungeon. Some games will just teleport you back out. This one, it's just sort of like, no, you need to make your way out, but in a fun way, not just retreading back to the entrance here. There's a number of treasure chests.
Some treasure to find.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That is nice. It's really, really nice. It's, yeah.
And this is also where we do see the little potion vials that we'll be able to find, that there are purple pots that if you smash them, they have more energy back in there so you can refill quicker. Again, just saving time. You could just stand there and refill it, but then they're just like, yeah, if you just want to refill the whole thing right now, there just you go.
Yeah. It's great. Again, it's a nice little way of tutorializing that new function as well, just to go, okay, this is how it works. Here are some examples of where you're going to run out of stamina. Here are some examples of like what you can and can't go past. You know, this is, you have to walk only on a single sort of height. You can't go up and down. You have to stay at the same height. It just shows all of those things without having to put you through a tutorial. And making it part of the dungeon, you know, making it part of your way out. It's really seamless, really, really well designed stuff. In the same way, again, like I'm going to be saying this a lot this season about how much of a precursor this game is to Breath of the Wild. Like it is so much more so than Twilight Princess or Skyward Sword is a precursor to Breath of the Wild. Stuff that they do in this game is really, really, you know, paving the way for what they do in Breath of the Wild in terms of sort of organic learning and teaching the mechanics and all of that sort of stuff, and just putting the control in the player's hands. Of how you're going to experience this game and leading you, but not holding your hand, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when we do get there, we are greeted by Sahasrara, who is just sort of like, wait, what happened to my pupil? Oh no, he's been kidnapped. Oh no.
No.
I really hope that he doesn't get the other ones. And then there's just like a loud boom and we're just like, oh, that timing is not good. We then, without choice, go and follow Sahasrara back to the main castle, where then it is covered in a dark aura. Sahasrara then explains to us, well, okay, I remember this happened a long time ago. What you need to do is you got to collect the three pendants and the master sword. Once you do that, you'll be able to break the barrier. But crap, Zelda has one of the pendants and she's in the castle. What are we going to do?
No, it's almost like I have the same thing. I wish you would have given it to me.
Yeah, does it look like this? Yeah, so Sahasrara is surprised that we already have it, but he's like, okay, well, we can just check that off then. That's great. He then marks two places on our map. We have the House of Gales and the Tower of Hera. So for the next episode, I'm just going to go ahead and say we're going to do the House of Gales first. I don't know. At some point in the game, we're going to be picking items and that'll let us go to different places. For now, that isn't one of the things. We are going to get the ability to pick up some items and rent some items here soon. That's just more of our exploration. Later on, we'll be having to make some decisions on which item we pick to go to which dungeon. So for now, we're going to go and do a lot more exploring now that we have a few more abilities and we'll have access to even more. Go do a bunch of exploring. Make it to the House of Gales. Whoosh. Finish that, and then we'll be back here and talk about it on Shadow of the Wild.
You get a new one of those every time, by the way.
Oh, nice bonus.
So, once again, free of charge. Is Yuga a man?
What's that?
Is Yuga a man?
I think so. I think so.
I assumed male. Although, you know, okay. We shouldn't all...
I didn't ask them how they identified.
Right.
But
we have to... Yeah. The question is, what did we assume their gender? I don't...
I mean, I saw long hair and assumed woman, which says probably more about me.
I assumed clown makeup and it was a man.
Because there aren't any female clowns.
The character that we meet at a later point in the game, they refer to Yuga as a he.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, right. Cut all of that out. Okay.
Hey, you know what? Hey, yeah. We had the discussion. It's fine.
Okay, okay. Yuga does apparently identify as he.
Okay, good to know.
Or certainly the Zelda community identifies Yuga as a he.
Okay. Maybe I will cut this out. Okay. We could just go with they going forward. It's fine. We do it. It's fine.
I think we just jump straight back in with Dennis. Tell us about that.
So...